Hello and good morning, Laurie. It is a beautiful 10:56 a.m. in the morning, though it feels like the afternoon. I'm not sure why that is. It feels very afternoony right now. The air is kind of, or the light, I mean, is kind of as bright as it's going to get today. But that comes with the winter, I suppose. Right now, speaking of weather, it is 3 degrees outside. It literally just changed to 3 degrees in front of my eyes. It was 2 degrees a second ago, with a low of -2 and a high of 6. So it's not going to be too great today. It is going to be a waning crescent. I read the wrong thing. It's going to be a waning crescent for the moon today, and the next full moon is going to be about 20 days from now, which is pretty exciting, I think. It's nice to have a nice full moon around here. And the sunset is happening today at 4:49 p.m., which is ridiculous. I can't believe the sunset is so early. I went home over the weekend to my actual, like, house, like, not university house. And we live in the middle of nowhere. We live in the countryside, and it's a little tiny Mennonite town. And I forgot how dark it gets. I really do. I've been so used to living in this Kitchener-Waterloo region place that I forgot just how dark it actually gets when you're not in a place with light pollution. I was looking outside, and I'm like, I can't see a thing. I'm used to seeing so well because of all the street lamps out here. But, yeah, it's incredible how dark it's getting, how quickly it's getting. I mean, winter really is upon us, even though it doesn't feel like it quite yet. But it's cold. It does feel cold. I definitely do feel the cool air and all that kind of thing. You can tell it's winter soon, but it feels later than what it is. This feels like more like October, you know what I mean? But we're already almost in December. Oh my God, we are almost in December, aren't we, guys? It's been a tough week, I think. For everyone, it's just because it's like we're kind of edging off of midterms now and we're moving into the exam season, or even just the fact that like November is a weird month because there's nothing that really happens in November to look forward to. It's not like it's like you got Christmas in a month from now, so everyone's looking forward to Christmas in November. So it's like November is just like a supplementary Christmas month. But yeah, I mean, I guess if we were in an American country, we'd have Thanksgiving. And I suppose to some degree we have Black Friday, but it's definitely not like to any degree what they have over there. But yeah, it's a beautiful month. They gave the best name like of the months to the most boring month. November is such a good name. We're underneath February because that is the best. My mom used to get really upset when I wouldn't say February, like how it's actually spelled. If you actually spell it out, it is pronounced February. And that's just, yeah. Same with raspberry. She used to get really upset if I didn't say a raspberry. But anyway, good morning. It is 11:59. I mean, 10:59. It's almost 11. My God, if it was 11:59, I'd be out of here already. I don't know. After 10 o'clock, it's always the afternoon to me. Like, the good 9 to 8 is the threshold of the morning. I know it literally is in the name where it says afternoon, but but honestly, I've always counted this to be the afternoon kind of area. But I'm just rambling right now. What am I talking about today? Let's see. I'm not too sure. I think it's kind of a broad day for me. This is, once again, and I feel like I've had a couple of these radio shows in a row where I just kind of ramble about nothingness and everything at the same time, where I cover these, like, huge, grand, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's, like, the same feeling as when you look into space and you realize how small you are. Just, like, these huge, grand-scoped feelings that, like, I covered just broadly, and I just start rambling, and that's kind of how I work. I kind of work in a rambly kind of way. I've had a couple people tell me over the years that I should be a therapist, but I don't think it would work really well for me. I think the monetary value would get in between me and the client because I would always feel bad about them paying for me. But, yeah. Good morning. My name is Clara Rose. If I haven't said yet, I doubt I did, but this is my time slot in the morning from 10 to 12. All the music that's been playing for the last hour has been mine, and I hope you liked it, because I like all those songs very much. The last song that just played is like my favorite song right now. I love that kind of feeling. I like songs that just give you a feeling, you know what I mean? Like when you like play a song and you can just for a split second, you can just like feel it in your veins, and it's just like, you know, you're just like there with the music, just for a moment, even for like a second. You just feel like you're, like, listening, you know what I mean? It's, like, kind of like a true presentness, I suppose. But what about the self? We're kind of a composited, like, every person is like kind of composed up of just things of the people around them or things that they like. All you really truly are is your assortment of morals plus your likes plus the people around you. That's kind of the kind of person you are. Like, for instance, I have my set of morals, and then I also like music and arts and things like that, and poetry and writing, and I'm also molded by the people around me, and that's who I am. That's Clara. That's who I am as a person. And I think that's always interesting to think about, if you just take a moment and think, where did I get these traits from? Who did I like adopt these sayings from, or these ways I go about the world? And was that from my mother, my father, or my friends, or my family, or these people I met once in my life that I never even think about again? I covered that a couple weeks ago. Where I covered about the idea that these people who you don't like remember, or they don't like, you don't think about them too much, actually still exist in your mind, and they exist in their mind too. You exist in their mind too. I spoke about this a bit ago, that there are tons of people in the world who still think about you, who you don't even think about you at all, or you don't even remember maybe. It's interesting to think about too. How many people do you think you've shaped the personality of slightly, or you've attributed something to their lives? But there's good and bad that comes with that. I'm sure everyone can think of one person who is negatively attributed to their lives, which is a hard truth, but it is how it is. There are some things, yeah, that's how the world is. But it's exciting to think about how these different traits and things all have accumulated into you as a person, which I think is pretty incredible. I think all the time about how incredible it is that we all get to just live and experience life and be our own, like, intensely complicated people. And everyone is just mostly the same amount of complicated, which is so incredible that we all get to exist at the same time. Which is why, like, it's hard to find the space for everyone, I find. I get to do so much stuff all the time, and I feel like I get to experience the world, and I get all these great opportunities, and then I wonder, like, who else in the world is experiencing this, and like, how else is everyone so complex and yet living such a different life than mine, and living such a different just set of rules? And just, it's incredible to think about all these people. Even a person you walk on the street, like walk past in the street, has a million different things and a million wonderful neurons firing in their brain, and just these things you never think about, really, that they're gonna go home and maybe like propose to their girlfriend. You have no idea. That's incredible that life moves around us constantly. I think today I'll talk about a hard thing. I think that'd be nice. I think at some point, at least in some point in every person's life, there is a moment, an iota of a second, where they are depressed. I dare to say that I scarcely believe there's not been a person on this planet who has not, for at least a little bit in their lives, been to some degree depressed. And it comes, just like seasonal depression, and there's just inherited depression, and there's just circumstantial depression. I doubt that there's a person on this planet who has not, at least for a moment, at least for a little bit of time, experienced a bout of depression, as little as it may be. Which is why I wonder sometimes why it is so stigmatized. I don't think it is as much anymore, but it definitely is not educated upon as much as it probably should be, regardless. If you're feeling depressed, if you are a person who's listening right now, anywhere in the world who's feeling as though you are sad, as though the sadness is seeping to your core, as though you can't escape because there is nothing more to you than this sadness, and the minute you let go of this sadness, you're terrified to find out who you are underneath it all. This is for you. Just listen for a moment, okay? I know it's hard, and I know there's a comfortability that comes with depression. I understand that there is this like level of just protection that comes with it too. It's really easy to just sink into it, and I know a lot of people will be confused by that, who aren't as innate, like, intimate with depression as some other people, because a lot of people who are just depressed on circumstantial reasons, or just like happen to be depressed for a moment of time, really would like to get out of it. I know when I'm ever depressed, I really would like to stop being depressed. But I find a lot of people, when they're depressed for a prolonged period of time, it ends up just becoming a safer spot than to heal, which is hard, because then you're stuck there. Then there is no motivation to get out and to fix it and to change yourself and to get out of bed in the morning. It's comfortable, and it's easier to lay in the bed. It's easier to be there for a moment and just to, you know, find yourself settled in that sadness. It's an easy way to do things. It's not good, and it's not anything wonderful. And I, even though it's more comfortable, I'm almost certain that people who are depressed in this sense don't like it either way. But it's safe. How many times am I going to say that? But yeah, I'm here to say today, and look at me preaching, because I'm just a girl with a microphone and I happen to have a voice. But you have to some degree, I think, crack away that comfortability, which is not easy. And I'm not telling you it's easy, and I'm not sitting here on my high horse saying, well, but it's just something to think about. There's always something that you can do. And your life is, to some degree, in your hands, if not 50% of the time. And now that we get older, as I assume most of the people who listen to this radio show are older, the world is way more open to you. As much as money and such is an issue, there is just more things you can do, generally speaking. If you want to go out to these places, you can. If you want to do things, you can. If you want to get a job, you can. It's easier to some degree as you get older. Maybe today, if you're feeling depressed, just try one little thing. One thing that scares you. Nothing huge. Nothing too crazy. I'm not asking you to go and, I don't know, go sing in the streets. I'm not asking you to do something insane. I'm asking you maybe go sit outside for a while today. Maybe go talk to a person you haven't spoken to better. Maybe try to make a friend in public. Maybe try to do these things that maybe are simple to me but aren't as simple to some other people. Just take a moment to do something that you didn't think that you would be able to do today. Maybe go brush your teeth. Maybe go take a shower. Maybe it's time to just go on a walk around your neighborhood. Just to take a moment to be present, to not sit in your bed and scroll. That's something I've spoken about a lot. And something that I'm not totally above myself. Doom scrolling is a term I'm certain that most of you are very, very familiar with and have perhaps participated in yourself. Doom scrolling is very, very, very easy to fall into. Literally, social media is intended and created and purposely crafted by people who are, like, very educated in the field to be, to some degree, addictive. When you scroll on your phone, it's like, no, like, it's not on accident that you want to keep scrolling. That's just had their way of making you feel like you can consume more and more and continue to get these dopamine bursts, which is especially helpful for people who have depression because the dopamine burst might be the only dopamine you're getting in the day. Or serotonin. I think they're both the same. I'm actually not a scientist. But, yeah, it's just, it's easy to fall into that. And even if you aren't depressed, it's easy to fall into that. Because that dopamine rush is very addictive. It's something that they have, like I said, purposely crafted to make you fall into. And so often I find people who are trying to do schoolwork and such have a hard time actually doing it because they get their phone and they will, like, start scrolling on Instagram or TikTok or however. And they can't do it. And then it's like they look at the clock and it's been half an hour and they still have only written two words on the page. And I'm not saying I'm not prone, but I've gotten better. I've been locking up my phone when I need to do schoolwork now, or setting my alarm for 20-minute timers just so I can work for 20 minutes at least and then go check my phone if I need to. But yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting how technology heavy we've gotten in the last couple of years just in itself. But that's a whole another conversation, and a whole incredibly scary conversation about how the world will look in the next 10 years just because of all the advancements we've been making. But back on depression, I think, because it's not a hard topic necessarily. Depression is something that is tossed around rather casually nowadays in a way that I think is not fair. I think depression is used very lightly as a term to describe sadness a lot of the time, or as a kind of cop out to some mental illnesses. Just, you know, oh, I'm like, it's you hear very frequently things like, oh, I'm feeling depressed today, and someone said, I'm not saying they're not, I'm just saying that it is used much more lightly than how it was used a couple years ago. So it's easier to talk about. It's not as ostracized anymore to be depressed. It's not like you're gonna be sent to the mental ward in the 1920s and then lobotomized. But, you know, it is still not a normal thing. There's definitely people who are still very mean to those who don't have the bandwidth to, perhaps, like I said earlier, brush their teeth or shower or etc. And yeah, it's hard, especially at school. It's hard because there's not an awful lot you can do. If you miss like however many tutorials, you fail that class. It's an unfortunate truth, but that's how it is. But it's hard. Depression is a terrible, terrible thing, and I've seen it through people in my life, and I've seen it just around me throughout my life, and I'm sure most people have too, if not experienced it. Most people have at least witnessed it to some degree, especially in our generation, I find, just because it's so much easier to connect with people online. And that's just, I feel like online people are more typically prone to sharing those kind of things. There is a certain protection and comfortability, like I said earlier, about the screen that being there. Yeah. One thing I should note about depression is it's, as someone who witnesses it and who is sympathetic to people who witness it, it is never your job. And I feel like that's something we don't talk about very often. It is never your job nor responsibility to any degree to fully have to help a person. And that's our truth. I think a lot of us are people pleasers, me, myself included. But it's something we have to learn, that you're not a professional at all. And if this person isn't integrated into your life as heavily as perhaps like a marriage or a child, because if your child or your partner is depressed, then naturally you should be there to support them. But if you're just a person in someone's life, maybe like an acquaintance or a friend to some degree, maybe not as strongly as a friend, you don't need to help someone. It's a hard truth, because I think we're very much raised in a people pleaser. Listen to everyone. Let's help everyone, society. But I do think that it is not. You can listen to someone 100%. If someone needs to talk about something, you are fully capable, I think, of listening and hearing that person and understanding what they're going through. But I don't think that it is your job nor your priority to help this person through things. I think it's great if you can do that, if you feel emotionally capable of doing that. But I find a lot of the time that when you do help people like that, who perhaps need your help and are reaching out, most of the time it's for good reason. A lot of the time people who are depressed and such do need a hand, and of course willing to help. But there are definitely people in the world who will take advantage of that kindness that you have in you and use it as a way to perhaps just settle more into that comfortability of depression. If you ever help someone before through a depressive fit, you may realize and recognize that they don't end up learning or growing or changing or doing anything, no matter how consistent it is. And that can just because depression is a constant factor in their life. They could be hereditary. Things like that do happen. But I find that some people use you as a way to further encapsulate themselves in depression, because now they have those moments of escaping it. And now they maybe feel to themselves like, oh, well, I'm doing something. I'm talking to somebody. But you're not a professional. You can't, to some degree, truly help them. Depression is something that is also so personal, and is such a thing that needs to be singularly motivated to some degree, that a lot of people will use others just as a stepping stone to feel better, while also making you feel worse. I think that you are within your full rights to say no to a person if they are feeling depressed and saying they need help from you. That is not your priority. Like I said, today feels very rambly. I feel like I usually have some kind of cohesive storyline, but today, no. I just talk about everything, and apparently I just sprinkle the word depression in so you guys stay interested. But it's harder than it looks, I think, to talk for longer periods of time about things. It's nice. I won't deny it is nice, and I like to hear my voice in the microphone. But yeah, it's hard to think of some of these things on the fly and just to talk about them and try to stay interesting, but I try. It's kind of incredible just how diverse everyone here is at this school. All the different people I've met from all the hundreds of countries. Did you know we have over 100 plus countries that go to this school? I was doing a paper on that, and it's incredible. We have so many international wonder students from, I think, over 100 different schools. And we have about, if I remember the statistics correctly, take this with a grain of salt, we have about 1,500 international students per semester, or per year, maybe per annual, I don't remember. But yeah, that's incredible. We have such a rich, diverse culture here. It is interesting, the westernized version of how we handle mental illness versus some like Eastern ideologies. It's definitely very touch and go depending on what country you're in. I think there's been some semblance of a movement in the Western front. It's definitely more spoken of, but I think it's mostly more spoken of online than it is ever in person. There's no like real mental health awareness in a way that is helpful, I think. I think the only time that it's actually been taught correctly to some degree is in like elementary schools. Then they kind of keep that same educative energy throughout your entire rest of your experience, and they treat you to some degree when you speak about it like you're a kid, I noticed. It's very much like watered down and not spoken of too intently or with true purpose. But depression's hard, obviously. Ooh, wow, crazy statement. But depression is something that, like, and mental health issues, period, are something that I think every single person to some degree has interacted with, be it through family or friends or through yourself and your own experiences. I think that everyone has to some degree at least witnessed a taste of mental health issues in their life. And if you haven't, I find you extraordinarily lucky. That is something that I think a larger percentage of the population than we realize deals with quite frequently. And it's hard to witness and it's hard to experience. There's no good sides, obviously, to either ordeal. But yeah, it's interesting how complex it is, how many different kinds of mental illnesses there are, and how differently it affects every single person, be it man or woman. We have such a complicated little world. They're full of so many complicated little things, just in our own like species of human, not even pertaining to any of the complex plant life or animals or etc. We all just get to exist on this world and feel this complex like system of connection through all these different things. I have a roommate, her name is Brooke. If she's listening, which I doubt she is because she's probably in class. She is in a science major, she's biology. She wants to do forensics. And some of the stuff she learns just about the world and the complex little workings of it and everything around it is so incredible. There's like such an incredible like wonderment in the world that we don't get to really witness. And I think that's where a lot of depression comes from. I think a lot of depression comes from looking inward. I find that a lot of people think that they are the end-all be-all of themselves and that their existence must be perfect to create a perfect life, or they must be liked or well-cherished, or something must be perfect or good or extraordinary about them to be allowed to exist. They must succeed 100% to be allowed to exist. And I find that so interesting. There's not a lot of species in the world, unlike, I think, zero species in the world, unlike humans, who have this strive to be the best. I find that the only thing that really happens in animals is that they, like, want to hunt and survive and live. And humans have kind of pushed past the survivability and moved more towards this made-up idea of importance. Because realistically, the only goals you have to complete in your life are socially imposed. If you are sitting here and you're thinking, well, I'm not going to live a happy life unless I'm successful, so let me get a 9-to-5, that might not be your happiness. And who cares if you aren't succeeding to the social normalcy of it? Maybe all I want to do is write a book and then disappear off the face of the earth. And that's it. That's my mark. That's all I really wanted to do. And so who should tell me that I have to succeed any more than that? Because what I've done is my bandwidth of success. That's what's going to make me happy, and that's what's going to make me feel like I succeeded. Okay. I've rambled quite a bit. I'm going to play the music maybe 10 minutes more, maybe longer. We'll see. It's a bit of a tired day for me, too. I can't lie. It's been a November for sure. It's interesting how fast November's flown, though. I feel like it was just barely Halloween, and then now it's all the way over almost to December. But it's incredible. I love the holiday seasons. They are truly, I think, the only holiday that is the same amount of excitement as when you were a kid, because there's just so much like joy. And I like that to some degree, the whole world gets to experience it in their own different ways, in their own different cultures, and their own wonderful things. We all love the changing of the season. Every human, as the world changes, and we love lights and trees and sweets. We truly are complex, but very simple at the same time. It's a hard line to walk, but we do it. Okay, I'm going to put on some music for a little bit. See you guys in a minute. Hello again, Laurie. It's me again. Surprise. Okay, what am I going to say to wrap this up? Well, not wrap this up. We don't close until half an hour now, but you know, it's like our second kind of segue into just talking and you listening to me doing things while I fill up the space in between the music. I say this all the time. I've said this probably like 17 times alone on this radio show by itself, but I love being in control of music. I do actually quite like my music and I like my music taste, and I enjoy being able to like show people the music that I enjoy because I like it. And so it is kind of a special, what's the word I'm looking for? Heavens, can I speak today? They put me on a mic and they didn't teach me English. Like, I don't actually know what I'm saying at all. It's a privilege, there we go, to be able to play the music that I would like to play. It is a shame I can't keep the music in the recording afterwards, but that is copyright infringement and such, and it would be a hassle to call up every single artist I listen to, especially since most of them are old. Either way, hello. It's the afternoon. It is now 11:35, which is really late. It feels like that's the afternoon for me. Do you know what I mean? Does anyone else feel that? I feel like I'm alone in this, but I do think that this is like afternoon time of the day and everything. I don't know. As it gets darker, I start considering 4 o'clock the evening, and that's bad. I can't consider 4 o'clock the evening because by then I'm like, that's why I truly don't understand why they don't give us some of the hard projects in September when I'm like actually like feeling motivated and happy to be here. I don't know why they don't give us that kind of stuff when I actually feel like I am capable. And then when November comes along, they give us all these important things and midterms and exams and all this all at once. And then it's like, but it's dark at 4 p.m. I can't do that. I want to go home and sleep when it's dark at 4 p.m. So I don't understand why they must wait, because I do truly think that if they gave us some at least semi-important stuff in September, a lot more students would succeed because there is more like motivation, because everyone kind of starts strong and then fizzles out. I think that's kind of how it goes. Everyone has their top 10 like to-do list of, oh, I'm gonna study 10 hours every single day and I'm gonna do so and so and such, and then it does kind of fizzle out to some degree. But that's life. We all take it in strides and we all figure out how we do it, and we all succeed it regardless, or we have to live at it regardless. I keep saying irregardless. That is not the correct word. I just think it sounds prettier. I used to have this bad habit. I still do it sometimes, but I have this bad habit of making up words in a sentence and just seeing if anyone realizes it, or using words incorrectly sometimes for the heck of it and just seeing if anyone will call me out or say something about it. And typically speaking, they don't, which is, I think, a little bit amusing. But yeah. Sorry, I got an email and I had to check in to make sure it wasn't like the radio host being like, you're not on. That would have been funny. November. It's November. It's already November. That's incredible. Whoever's listening, if anyone at all, sometimes I do worry that no one listens to these, which I think is funny. If anyone's listening to me on a microphone on a Monday morning, I want you to know, and I mean this, I want you to know that you are loved. I want you to know that despite what you may think and despite what the voice inside the back of your head is saying to you, you are loved and you are likable and you are deserving of it. There's not a person in this world who I think doesn't deserve love. Everyone deserves it, and you are no different, you're no exception. Some people, I think, inside their hearts believe they're bad people, which is a self-punishment, I think, to some degree. Everyone is so certain they can't be good. Everyone is so frightened of the prospect of being called a good person, and oftentimes will shut it down or refuse it or even be shocked and aghast at the expression. But I think, and I can't say into the microphone, you're a good person. I don't know you. I've never spoken to you before. I don't know what you look like. I don't know who you are. I don't know how you're listening to this. But I promise that you are loved. And if you don't feel like anyone loves you, then I promise I do. I can take on that. That's not very hard for me. We spend a lot of our lives searching for so many things. We search for a purpose. We search for a moment. We search for another half. We search for a reason to live, a reason to be alive, a reason to make it worth it, a reason to be deserving of love, a reason to be deserved. And there isn't one. There really is no reason to be deserving. you can't do anything to be deserving of love. You just have to be. Every day you wake up and you impress me. Every day you wake up and you do it, and that's an incredible feat. I'm proud of you. Every day when you get up and you make yourself breakfast and you face the world despite everything it throws at you, I'm proud of you. It's not easy to be a person, and it's not easy to be an adult. And the world keeps turning. Despite of what you think of yourself, the world keeps turning and the world keeps spinning, and I would love you to spin with it. I would love if you could be kinder to yourself. Be kinder to the people around you and be kinder to yourself. You are loved. It's so easy to be unkind to yourself. It's so easy. It's ridiculously easy. Everyone, to some degree, is mean to themselves. It's so easy to be mean to yourself. Oh, I look ugly. Oh, I didn't do that quite too properly. I didn't succeed in so and so. Oh, I didn't make the team. I didn't do such and such. That's okay. We all fail. Everyone fails. I failed one of my midterms this semester. That's just how it is. And we keep moving. And we keep doing things and we make up for it. And we solve those things and we fill the spaces and we live. Because that's all the choice we have. Every day that you are alive, I am grateful. Every moment you are here and present and enjoying the world around you, I am proud of you. I know that the world is full of lonely people. Lonely people who don't understand how to make themselves feel less lonely. I know the world is full of people who walk on the street and just pray that someone will talk to them. Pray that someone will notice them sitting in the cafeteria. I know that even people with friends are praying that one of their friends will notice they aren't feeling good today. There are so many people in the world who feel just like you. You are not alone. This isn't your burden to bear. You just think it is. Within the time I have started and ended this podcast, there has been probably at least a million people who have thought something bad about themselves. And I mean that in this episode today. Everyone is thinking all the time about how negative they are and how horrible they are and how horrible everything is. And I'm not saying you have to stop thinking that, because that isn't in it. I don't think we'll ever truly leave our minds. It's an impossibility to feel perfect all the time. And I don't think healthy either. It's not good to feel good all the time, because then it feels like nothing. If goodness is constant, then there is no goodness. It just is. But we sit here, just you and me, one-on-one. And I just want you to remind yourself that you are good, and you are loved, and you are appreciated, and the world would be less full without you, and less colorful, and less beautiful. There are so many colors. Everyone's just brimming with life here on this planet, and I wouldn't want a single speck of paint to leave this canvas. I think that we all have such an inherent love and wonder in our soul that we just don't know how to push. We don't know how to fully bring it forward to show the wonder, to show the creativity, to show the genius that we all have. Maybe you're afraid, maybe you're humble, maybe you aren't there yet, maybe you don't want to have an ego, maybe you don't believe in yourself enough. There are people who I've met in my life who are brilliant, who are beautiful and brilliant and talented, and they could not see that if you put a magnifying glass up to them. Because there's something wrong. Every inch, every piece of their face, every skin fleck, every fold, there is an issue. There is a thing that must be solved or could be better. there is something to take away, something to gain, something to change, change, change. We all want what we can't have. Every single one of us. People who are poor wish to be rich. People who are rich wish to have love like poor humanity. It's a constant. In my philosophy class, which is ironic to bring that up now, but in my philosophy class, we have this issue we talk about called the treadmill problem. Everyone has a desire satisfaction, like, way of looking at happiness. You want something, you desire after it, you get it, you feel happy because of it. But a lot of us end up falling into this trap called the treadmill, where we get something and now we want more. Now we're unsatisfied. Now we need the next step of perfection. I've done so much stuff this year, and sometimes I still find myself wanting more. Wanting the next best thing, wanting to continue, and I can't be happy with these things because of that. Because instead of being so gracious that I get to work or do something incredible, or I've completed a beautiful piece of art, or I've done something amazing, I instead am focusing on what I can do next. What is the new thing? How can I better myself? How can I be even better? How can I be more impressive? What's the new next thing I can do? How can I try? And I'm not saying that's another thing that you should strive to do. There's definitely, like, there's a benefit to striving for excellence, but it can't be you. You can't always push, or else you'll never reap the rewards. You'll just keep going, and then one day you'll find your 40 and you'll wonder why you don't feel happy. You have to find the happiness in you. I say this all the time. I say that you have to fall in love with yourself. And I feel like a lot of people take that literally, which I think is funny. You have to fall in love with yourself. If you were alone right now in a room with yourself, just you and yourself, maybe over coffee or something, would you enjoy the conversation? Do you think you'd find yourself likable and lovable and funny, and you'd enjoy spending time with yourself? If the answer is no, then maybe it's time to start learning how to love yourself, or start learning who you really are, to understand what kind of person you are and to see if you'd enjoy being around yourself. A couple years ago, I was a massive people pleaser to a striking degree. Like, I would change myself profusely just to be likable or considered, like, I don't know, proper by other people. It was this turmoil of my life, because I didn't know who I was, because I was constantly being myself for other people. So I was nothing. There was no personality. There was no true likes or interests or anything to the degree of who I actually was. I just said what I thought people would like, and that's just the kind of person I was. And then I was alone with myself for quite a bit of time because COVID happened. And I ended up being in a room with myself, totally cohorted away from my friends, barely spoke to anyone online except for a couple of people. And I was forced to find myself, because when you're alone with yourself in a room, you have no choice but to find yourself. And I'm grateful, because yes, of course I would love to have coffee with myself. I think that would be excellent. I think I'm interesting and funny and smart. And that was a long time for me to figure that out. And I'm not saying you're going to figure it out in a year or a day or any confirmed amount of time that I can give to you. All I'm saying is that you have to love yourself. You have to be kind to yourself in moments of failure and kind to yourself in moments of success. And you have to want to talk to yourself and be alone with your thoughts. I promise you are loved. As much as it sincerely does not feel like that, I'm sure most of the time, if not all of the time, there is so much love the world has for you. And there is so much love that you can give yourself that will just make you feel more whole as a person, more you. And the moment you find you love yourself is the moment that you just become so much more colorful. And so much brighter, and so much likable, so much more likable. The moment you are truly and unapologetically yourself, regardless of what people say, or regardless of what people are looking at you, then that is truly your most powerful, most loved, most perfect state. So just think on that. Just have a conversation with yourself today. Just sit down and talk like you're talking to a friend. You're going to know yourself for the longest anyone ever will in your entire life. You are born and you will die with yourself. So you have to love yourself. Okay. I'm going to play some music for the next 10 or so minutes. And then, you know, I switch off. I turn off my broadcast and you guys go on with your day. But I just want you to know that you are on my mind. And if anyone would like to reach out to me at all, to any degree, I'm going to say my Instagram handle now. So please get your pens and papers ready. I'm just joking. But if you want to talk to me, my username is ROSEC_3876. That's Rose C underscore 3876. My photo is my one card and I am a blonde-ish. I have bangs, if that helps. It's just my picture of me. I realize a lot of you guys don't really know what I look like because I don't know who listens to this. Sometimes I truly do wonder if anyone listens to this. If you're not going to say anything, at least pop in to say, hey, I listened. Because it's neat. I find out some people do listen to this who I have no idea. There's a girl on my floor who I don't know too terribly well. Her name is Sam, and she told me one day casually, offhandedly, that she was listening to my thing, and I had no idea. That was bewildering. People do listen. People do hear you and see you in ways that you don't notice yourself. But yeah, shoot me a message. I would appreciate it. ROSEC_3876. Okay, 9 more minutes of music. And have a beautiful day, guys. Have a wonderful day.